Hey girl, hey! Welcome to Taste of Taylor, my weekly podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Strecker, of the live daily talk radio show, The Taylor Strecker Show. So here's the deal. On my radio show, we're like married up in there, okay? Yeah, like till death do us part. Or until you want a divorce. Totally up to you. But this podcast is where we date. Yes, you date me. You like, you get to know me, you try me on, you feel me out. And this is where I get to woo celebs, tastemakers, and influencers into falling in love with me. Anyone who knows me knows I'm like a professional social climber. And yeah, I wear that title like a badge of honor. But for reals, my favorite part of being in the radio industry for 12 plus years is getting to meet interesting, inspiring, and exceptional people and getting them to talk about the pettiest things in the world. So if you love real talk with a touch of cattiness and a ton of laughers, then you're in the right place. I hope you enjoy this little snack. Hey girl, hey, welcome to another episode of my weekly podcast, Taste of Taylor. I am your host, Taylor Strecker, and today I have a guest who is actually not only a friend of mine, but also a regular guest on my show, Hannah Berner. Hey girl, hey, welcome to the show.
Hey girl, hey, I'm so happy you're not sick of me yet.
Well, yet. I mean, I think your fame is getting to your head.
I know. And like, you've probably seen me everywhere, haven't you?
3 days?
It's been maybe 72 hours.
48 hours.
No, I'm not counting though.
Since Bravo announced that you are one of the three new cast members of Summer House.
It's so crazy because we filmed centuries ago, but you have to, you know, continue living your life and not tell anyone, which is weird because I can't keep my mouth shut for shit.
So normally on the show, you know, and so always on the show, we have on tastemakers, influencers, celebrities, Bravo celebrities. And now that we finally fucking announced you're on Summer House, I can have you on the podcast.
Welcome. You're like, now you're kind of legit.
No, you are. I mean, first of all, your social media numbers have been crushing and the show hasn't even aired. And so that's a testament to you and your skill set when it comes to social media. So I want to get into that. And like,
yeah.
I think people are always wanting to know how you go viral, how you develop a presence, how you get people to follow you.
I'm obsessed with virality. I'm obsessed with it.
Okay, so we're going to get into that. This is also an important podcast because it's the first podcast I've done where I'm a little drunk. So welcome.
It's literally 3 p.m.
It's Friday!
Oh, okay.
And I had my friend Alex Thamopoulos co-host with me, and we went to Sugarfish. It's my first time ever going, and it was...
That's where the cool kids go, right?
I just went to church, I just found a new religion, and I just had sex in my mouth, and it wasn't with Alex. That sounded so disgusting.
Did you orgasm?
I taste bud orgasmed so many times over.
What were you drinking?
Sake. You have to.
Yeah,
it's like it goes hand in hand.
And so. Sugarfish is such like a sexy name.
Ugh.
It's like, let's go to Sugarfish.
It's the best sushi I've ever had in my entire life. It's life changing. So anyway,
not sponsored by Sugarfish.
Although they should. But I've done Stassi's podcast drunk a lot. Mm-hmm. Like actually, there was one I did where I was blacked out and I didn't even remember what we talked about. But the audience, and I was so embarrassed. The audience was like, "You just like cried about how much you love your dad and your brother," and I was like, "What?
That's adorable."
No, so Stassi and I were talking about good guys versus bad guys. And we're like, all the guys are so bad. And they were like, but not our dads and our brothers.
My dad's
like,
kind of a douchebag, but I love him. We can start with my daddy issues whenever you want.
Page 6, you hear that?
Okay, no, my dad's like my favorite douchebag in the world.
My favorite kind. Well, my dad's a sauerkraut now. He's like a grumpy old man. And you know what? I plan to be a grumpy old man when I'm his age too.
I'm jealous of grumpy people. Like I have to show up at meetings and smile. Like I want to be grumpy and just like talk shit afterwards.
Men
I do talk shit afterwards.
Get to be grumpy. Women have to be like sugar and spice and everything nice, and then we get to talk shit. That's
true.
The difference.
We talk shit behind your back.
Which I feel like I think that's worse. I think it's better to be.
Yeah, because we're mental terrorists. Men are just like.
So welcome to the podcast.
It's so hard for straight men right now. Sorry, I'm not going to get into that.
I'm white and straight. No, but they really are very upset about it.
They're very upset about
it. It's like, oh, baby, wavy, is it hot for you right now? Is everything not handed to you? I'm so sorry.
I can't deal with that shit right now. Like, I feel like all men are trash, but I'm trying to see the light.
Oh, we're going to get into that too. Your dating life is epic. I mean, it's actually a big part of your online brand, I would say as well, right? Social mm-hmm. media. It's all mm-hmm. about, well, it's not even your dating life. It's just like
my thoughts about my dating life.
And also like scumbags that want to date you that you refuse to date. So you just put them on blast.
Put them on blast is the best strategy when in doubt.
So we have a lot to get into. But of course, first things first, we got to talk Summer House because, girl, mm-hmm. that's why you've landed on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Bravo Celebrity.
My only goal in life was to get on the Taylor Strucker podcast, and I just did it by way of Bravo, and I'm pretty sure I'm just going to call in and say, I'm good.
No, you're still going to come on Mondays, right?
Of course I am. Are you kidding
so
me?
So for any
That's the
of
only
you...
thing that wakes me up in the morning. On Mondays, who wants to start their week?
So for any of you who don't know, Hannah Berner has been, it's like a year now. Happy anniversary.
Oh, happy anniversary, my love.
Hannah, I met about this time last year. You co-hosted with me. You ate a scone the entire time you co-hosted. And so then I said I don't want to have her back on ever again. Because if she doesn't know to not eat on air, then what the fucks am I doing with her? And then we have a mutual friend that said, please, no. Give her constructive criticism. She'll get better. So then you came back on, and then you and Darren Cart made fun of me together. So then I also put you in timeout again.
I was testing you the whole time. I wanted to see how much
I
could push your buttons.
Oh, did I pass your test?
You did.
Oh, I'm so proud of myself.
No, I literally called Cheech, who got me on your podcast, and I was like, how do you think I did? And she goes, did you eat a fucking scone, the driest pastry you could find, into the microphone? And I was like, well, I was hungry. And she was like, yeah, you fucked up.
You might as well have just come in with a jar of Elmer's glue and consume that the entire
time. It's called ASMR, Taylor, get with the times.
So when I get drunk, I laugh like an old smoker.
You're making me feel really fun. Oh no, you're like, ah,
this is the other day. We had so much fun.
She's choking on her laugh right now, and I didn't say anything. It's not because of me.
Oh, isn't me drunk fun?
Yeah,
I'm not drunk. I'm just like tipsy.
I feel like when people say they're not drunk, it means they're drunk. Like, I don't walk around sober going, I'm not drunk.
But that's because you're sober.
You're just jealous that I have self-control over my alcohol.
You're just jealous that I can handle my alcohol.
Actually,
kind of.
I'm jealous that you can party and I can't. Like, if I was drunk, I would just be like,
lock yourself in a closet.
I would just fall asleep.
Well, that's what I'm going to do after the podcast today.
That's
Listen, this is my weekend.
You don't have to defend yourself.
Now I'm getting defensive.
I know. This is going to become like a intervention for you.
Oh, please, no.
No, but the funny thing.
I get them every day from the audience.
True. Summer House is about people with cool jobs who go to the Hamptons.
And get drunk.
And get drunk and fight and whatever.
This is what New Yorkers do. This is how we blow off steam. But
yes.
Hannah, you're not that big of a drinker.
I'm not. A huge drinker, so that was the hardest part.
I was gonna say, so how was that for you being like, so okay, so let's talk, we'll talk Summer House. So you came on the show like a year ago. You have a regular segment every single Monday on the Taylor Strecker Show. You can subscribe at taylorstrecker.com. You do, it's called Millennial Mayhem with Hannah Berner, and you talk about being a millennial, dating, lingo, social media, anything that pertains to millennials, you got it covered.
And everything.
You're like
I'm
our
like,
millennial whisperer, or even like our translator, if you will.
Yeah, and sometimes I feel like I give good advice, and sometimes I think I'm just rambling about what I don't understand.
I would say I agree to both those effects, yes.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say I'm the whisperer representing millennials at all, but
You're
I do have
a
thoughts.
Millennial who has thoughts.
Yes. So I'm very qualified.
So you were on the show probably, God, it must have been like 6 months, and you became like a regular, you know, staple of the show. Audience loved you.
I grew on you.
You did, honey. That's how she does. So if anyone hasn't seen her yet, or you don't really, you're not hip to the jive that is Hannah Berner.
You just said jive.
I did. And I said in my last podcast too, which officially makes me old. But you, like, I'm interested to see how the audience responds to you in the beginning of the season on Summer House, and then how they feel at the end. Because I feel like you're like a barnacle in a good way.
Interesting, because I get DMs from Taylor Strecker fans literally saying, I love you so much, but I used to hate you. And I'm like, thank you?
No, that's a thank you. I mean, all my best friends, that's how I start my conversation with them. I remember when I hated you and then I loved you.
Like that girl who you always think is a bitch and then you talk to her and you're like, I want her to be my bitch.
Yup.
Yeah.
I think the people that I'm the closest with in life, when I first meet them, I normally dislike them and or hate them.
Why do you think that is? Like, why do you think people maybe don't love me immediately, which is pretty fucked up?
I feel the same way about myself. I think it's because you're like you are a presence. You're not like, you either love Hannah or you hate Hannah. There's no in between. Mm-hmm. Same with me. I'm like love hate. There's really like no like lukewarm.
But also your audience is a little older, and I think millennial girls are more easy to be like, oh, I want to be friends.
I have talked about this on the show, and I'll say it on the podcast too. I think that, and obviously the podcast is probably more millennial because it's a podcast, right? Although I will say Gen Xers and even baby boomers listen to the podcast. But
I mean, I have my dad's friends listen to my podcast.
Parents are cool. They get it.
Parents are cool sometimes.
But I do feel like I think that I'm kind of like the bridge to Terabithia, if you will, between millennials and Gen Xers. But I have noticed in my tenure of working in between the generations and also kind of myself being like, I feel like a Gen Xer, but I'm technically more like of an elder millennial. Mm-hmm. So I think I can speak to both generations. But there is like a very subtle, silent war between Gen Xers and millennial women specifically. Mm-hmm. And I think what it is, tell me if you want to jump on board with this theory, but I think that Gen X women were taught that we have a lot of rules, a lot of boundaries. We must follow them. And if you follow the rules, if you're a good girl, you will have a good life. And the millennials come in. See, I'm going to sound like a Gen Xer now. And they're all like, fuck the rules. I'm going to do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. 9 to 5, I'm going to work from home. And we're like, you can't do that and survive.
Yep.
And then you do.
And that has some animosity. But I think what's happening is Gen Xers are starting to realize the technology shift and the change in the idea of work.
Yes.
Because it used to be amazing to rise the corporate ladder until we realized that there's ceilings.
And it's
especially
bullshit.
For women.
And it doesn't
bullshit.
Work. Yep.
So now, funny.
Well, it does sometimes.
It does sometimes. But like my mom did the corporate ladder in the Department of Education to the point that she was the principal of the top middle school in Brooklyn.
Wow.
And looked at me and goes, I want to be a jazz singer.
Right.
So she's about to retire next year and she's going into jazz.
Shut up.
Like you can, it doesn't matter how old you are. Your dreams are always valid and can happen.
But I understand why Gen Xers who are taught to follow the rules. I was one of those. The only reason why I stepped out of the rule following was because I picked the life on paper that was like checking all the boxes and I was not happy. So I had to get a divorce and then I became a lesbian.
Sometimes you have to fuck up to... So you need the universe to kick you off your
in
path.
In the ass. Yeah, it's like, it's what do they say? When you make plans, God laughs. It's
exactly.
Like, no shit.
I mean, I wanted to be a professional tennis player since I was 8 years old.
That's a really good point. We never bring
like, never talk about this, but I literally was that kid who just played tennis tournaments every weekend. Mm-hmm. I was playing nationally, internationally.
Like, who was your role model, would you say? Like, who was, you're like, I'm going to be blankety blank when
I
grow up.
Everyone loves Serena Williams when they're younger. Now I think she's kind of a cunt, but.
Well, we have addressed that on the Taylor Strecker Show. If you want to listen to that episode, subscribe.
It's actually on the podcast too, I think. We talked about this.
Oh, it is actually.
Serena like has drama in terms of how she like carries herself, but I think she's such a mover and shaker for female athletes, period. All respect goes to her. But I just love the idea that tennis, it was like I was an entrepreneur. The more I went, it didn't matter if I was rich, if I was poor, you know, how tall I was, how strong I was. Tennis, you go out there and just create your future. So I felt like an entrepreneur. But then I realized just because I was really good at it didn't mean I wanted to live my whole life on the road competing and just playing all the time.
It's road life. It really is.
It's fucking lonely.
Yeah.
And it's similar to...
And it's a solo game. For the most part.
No, 100%. It's the loneliest sport. You can't call timeout. You can't pass the ball when you're nervous. So I did that. I played professionally. I played for the University of Wisconsin. And one day I was like, I feel like I should be enjoying this and I'm not. Because the wins didn't get me high anymore. The losses would make me depressed for weeks. And I just felt like I was fighting for this idea of me like playing professionally and idolizing it and then being like, who cares if you do what you thought you wanted when you were 8 if it doesn't make you happy right now?
Why did you get into tennis in the first place? Was it your dream? Was it someone else's dream?
I was a hyper child. I was very athletic.
You were hyper? No way.
Yeah, I was crazy. My parents were like, she's either going to be a serial killer or she can hit a tennis ball. So for society's benefit, I went into tennis. And I chose tennis over other sports because you had like control and I'm a type A personality.
Yep.
It made sense why I chose it, but I had to sit down and decide like just because you thought this was your dream doesn't mean it's your dream anymore when you're 22. I went into sales. I did cold calling.
That's brutal.
So I was still in that mindset of like you have to be a masochist to be successful.
Yep.
And my dad, who is my best friend, and he's a douchebag, but like the funniest guy I've ever met.
How is your dad a douchebag?
He's just like the funniest guy in the room. You could tell he was a player when he was younger.
Got you. Your dad was a fuck boy?
My dad is such a fuck. My dad's gotten kicked out of like every like camp he joined for like sleeping with a nurse or like when he was younger.
Your dad was pacey?
My dad went to 4 different colleges. Like he didn't give a shit. And then he went to sales because he's smooth and he's funny. He can light up any room.
He could sell
he could sell like ice to an Eskimo.
100%.
Yep.
And he's a, and he is, his biggest sale of his life was marrying my mom, who's actually an angel. And my brother and I are like, how did this happen?
How did you land mom?
Like, and he goes, it's the best sale of my life.
Oh, I love that.
Which is adorable. But then now I'm attracted to guys who are like my dad, which is something I'm working out with my therapist.
Okay, so then you leave the sales job and you end up working at Betches.
So, well, I leave the sales job. I was selling digital marketing and making a lot of money, but crying in the bathroom every day.
Fair.
So then I decided, instead of taking from people, I want to create. So I decided to go into digital marketing as a strategist.
Okay.
And that's where I started learning strategy for going viral. I was working for a t-shirt company, so I learned about SEO. I learned about social media. I learned about blogging. I learned about working with influencers. I saw this life, and part of me was like, these fucking influencers are living the life, but I don't have the ability to post photos of myself every day. I think it's too narcissistic of me, because it's like, oh, I want people to tell me I'm pretty. And I don't like people telling me I'm pretty.
Right.
I don't like glorifying being pretty. I don't think that's what girls should aim for.
Nope. I hate when girls see each other and the first thing they say is, like, you look so beautiful. No, you look beautiful. You're so cute. No, you're so pretty. It's like, guys don't do that. They're like, bro, you look hot today.
Bro, have you been working out? You lost like 3 pounds, bro.
I love your jeans. Where did you get them? It's like, enough.
Have you seen the Marie Kondo Netflix special about tidying up?
No.
So it's basically this angel of a little Japanese woman.
Oh, the one who speaks massively broken English. Yes, I saw one episode.
But she, it's like a therapeutic to watch. She changes people's lives.
Yes.
Her whole,
you're a big fan.
Actually, I haven't even watched it. I haven't watched it.
I was not.
Her whole, I don't care to watch it, but her whole thing is, don't keep things that don't bring you joy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with Instagram, it's like, marketing's about emotion. Why would I post a photo that I don't...
Excuse me, New York City. We are doing a podcast up here.
They, like, waited for me to make my point. Anyway.
They're like, I disagree.
I love when you make fart sounds. I have highbrow humor. So I want to post a photo that brings joy to people. Mm-hmm. Me posting a photo of me
that makes people LOL?
But me posting a photo of me Photoshop trying to just look hot is A, trying to like get a guy to slide into my DMs, which I cannot stand, or B, trying to make other girls feel jealous of me.
Right.
Or my three friends who actually love me tell me I look good. Oh my
God. We got to talk about this. So Catherine McPhee, now I can't talk about this on the radio show because I want to save it for this, but Catherine McPhee, one of my listeners sent me, she slid into my DMs, and she sent me a screenshot of Catherine McPhee's Instagram where she is like, wedding diet, and she's at Shake Shack, and she's got a salad and a burger and fries and a shake, and I'm like, it should be illegal. Like, if Instagram is going to wipe people's accounts because they show their butt cracks
or their nipple,
then you should definitely wipe accounts for things that are going to create distress and anxiety and depression in women. Catherine McPhee, also, how Catherine fucking McPhee, dare you?
Stick to singing. You're not a comedian, and it's not funny to post you looking skinny eating Shake Shack that you didn't finish.
If
she
didn't
finish that Shake Shack.
And she had two photos. One was her eating the salad, which I believe.
Who gets a salad from Shake Shack?
No one, girl, no one. And then you swipe left or right, and then she is taking a bite. It's like she has taken a bite of the burger. And I was like, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. You know what the equivalent is? Girls, if you're a skinny, fit girl, okay? Listen, and you should be proud of your body. Bless. I'd much rather she's like, I'm going to Tracy Anderson 15 times a day to look good for my wedding.
Or at the end of the day, be like, I'm so hungry right now, but I really want to look good for these photos. And I'm just posting this to let you know that it's not perfect.
I would respect that so much. And honestly, some people would say, oh my God, that's like promoting an eating disorder. But you know what you're creating when you're posting, I'm so skinny and perfect, and look at me eating this burger? You're creating eating disorders. I mean, I'm not saying there's like, she's
Catherine
automatically.
Catherine McPhee has caused every eating disorder in America, actually. It's a fact.
But that post and other ones like it, like, I feel so strongly about this. It makes me so livid.
But what
so
do you
angry.
Think was going on in her brain to want to post that? Like, is she insecure that
she's probably insecure that she's thin and people think she's an eating disorder. So this is a way of showing people that she doesn't have an eating disorder, which makes me think, do you have an eating disorder? Is.
When you feel an emotion, try to think why they did what they did.
But here's the thing is, I feel like, I just want to send a message to all the thin, fit girls who want to let everybody know that they eat French fries and fucking shit food and still look awesome. That is the equivalent to me being a rich billionaire. Like, let's say my parents are rich, right? And all I do is post pictures of me in a bathtub of money. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can't stop getting rich. It's like, guys, there's things you shouldn't brag about. Money, beauty, and skinniness. Right?
But also be truthful. It's like, show
and
us
it's bullshit.
That you're doing, that you're on the grind, and that, but this goes back right. to why do I post tweets? And I've gotten some hate of some, well, maybe like two or three.
But that's
people.
What I'm saying is thank you for being responsible in your postings.
But it's not bad for people to post photos, but think about why you're posting the photo. Like sometimes I like to celebrate my friends, but I always try to think it's a public network. This isn't you in a group chat with your friends. Why are you posting something? Do you want, and like when you get more followers, I really like to think of everything I post as how I'm sending a message to people.
Right.
And I really think that my tweets, people have been like, oh, why are you tweeting on Instagram? First of all, motherfuckers, every fucking meme you send to your friend originates from Twitter.
So let's talk about that. So I like in this podcast, obviously, I want to talk more about Summer House. I know we talked about it a lot, a ton. We went deep in on my radio show.
Sorry, I'm very passionate about my Twitter.
But I think it's also, you're also like, your social media game is so incredible. And I feel like this could be like a learning moment for people as well. Mm-hmm. So explain the whole I'm Instagramming my tweets thing.
Okay, so I didn't love posting photos of myself. I was working at Betches as the video producer where I was writing, directing,
so wait,
editing.
So you learn a little bit about social media skills at this t-shirt company, right? Then and you then go over to Betches and you really learn.
At Betches, I got my
boot camp.
At Betches, I was dating a stand-up comedian and I was learning the Betches voice. Uh-huh. And I started to create my own comedy voice. And I started to get confidence by seeing the Betches audience respond to my jokes.
Right. So and they have an audience.
They have an audience.
What, 6 million?
6.4 at this point.
Jeez Louise. So, I mean, such a huge brand.
And it's funny. When you post a video, of course, it's going to get a lot of views at Betches. But we know which ones people actually liked. And people were like, eh.
Right, even
if it got 300,000 views, that's not good. But if it got a million views, you're like, yeah, we crushed that joke.
You're making me feel like a loser.
No, but this is just lucky. I felt so fortunate that I had a platform to show people.
Yeah.
And I tried to get other female comedians who had really small followings but were really fucking talented to get on the Betches platform, and I learned from them too. I surrounded myself with people who were funnier than me, and then we inspired each other.
Lesson number two of the podcast, always surround yourself with people who are as good if not better than you, because it will elevate you. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people, out of insecurity, and I get it, I'm an insecure person, you want to be around people who maybe you feel like are at your level or slightly beneath you. Don't do that.
They always say, like, you know how you're doing by averaging the five people around you or something along those lines. Like, look at your circle and see if you want to change it.
My circle's good, my circle's good. It keeps on growing, I'm doing good
things. That was a drunk song that no one understood.
My boobs are sweating.
It's a little hot in here.
Okay, so you work at Betches.
Yeah, so I start constructing these videos and I start doing horoscope Insta stories, and people start giving me confidence because they're responding. They kind of like it. And however you get your confidence, I don't care, but get that confidence and just go. Don't wait for things to be perfect. And also, be honest. All I did was sit around and honestly was like, what am I really thinking?
Okay.
And then say it. That's called relatability.
Okay, so authenticity. Mm-hmm. So important. Mm-hmm. And also, does it bring joy? Will it spark joy for other people? Mm-hmm. And then that third thing, what did you just say?
Well, it's kind of like authenticity.
Authenticity.
But the third thing is confidence in yourself.
Confidence in yourself.
I'll post some stuff and I will never think I might delete this if it doesn't get enough likes.
Nope.
Because I really am happy with, it made me laugh.
I have seen so many friends, like if they don't get a certain amount of likes by a certain amount of time, whether they're big people or like, you know, just like regular average Joes, I've seen friends across the board, across the spectrum, delete stuff. And I'm like, why are you deleting? Who gives a shit?
And you guys, humor on social media is the greatest thing because humor is what connects people. Humor brings you joy.
Yep.
So even if you're posting a thirst trap, post some funny shit because you want to make other people smile. And everyone has a different sense
of humor.
It's a
pretty good intention.
This is a really good rule too. Don't post things you think is funny.
No, post things that, well, reword that.
As in,
I know
don't
what you're saying.
Post something that you think other people think is funny.
Yeah, like, oh, people will think this is funny. Post it if it makes you laugh.
People like my stuff because they know my actual humor to the point that you could hear me saying the things I write. I'm not just writing what I think is funny in general.
Right.
People send me stuff about tall guys, horoscopes, cats.
Well, that's your
this
brand.
This is my brand.
That you've created.
And that's why people follow me, because my brand is different than other brands.
Because it's you.
Because it's you. So it's not because it's Hannah Burner.
No.
It's just because it's specific to one person. So if you're listening at home and you have a fucked up sense of humor, you show that sense of humor off because it's you. Don't write, why am I in the club crying right now? Because everyone else is writing it. write what you think is funny and it's all good.
You know, it's so funny that you say this because when I do Instagram stories, and listen, I need to get my Instagram and Twitter and Facebook game up, queen.
You're working on
and
it.
And you're going to help me.
I'll help you.
But I will say that when I do go about posting stuff, Tay, my girlfriend, always says, you do realize you're laughing at yourself right now, right? And I'm like, yeah, because it's fucking funny.
I just want to take a real quick break to talk about a live show I have going on. Yes, honey bunny, Taste of Taylor Live. It's going to be February 18th in New York City at Caroline's on Broadway. Yes, darling, my name and lights on Broadway. But in all seriousness, get your tickets through my website. You can go to taylorstrecker.com under tour dates. Just click tour dates and it's right there. Or go to my Instagram at Taylor Strecker. There'll be in my highlights. Just click on Caroline Hicks, T-I-X, and then click on that, and then go to it, swipe up, and it will take you right to Caroline's page to get your tickets. I believe that VIP is sold out, but general admission tickets are still available, so go, honey, buy them for yourself, buy them for you and your best friend, make your man take you for Valentine's Day. It's going to be so much fun, live Taste of Taylor, live me, live you, live us together at Caroline's on Broadway in New York City, February 18th. I hope to see you there.
That's the point. Like, I love to laugh at myself.
And also, then your followers become cultish because they're not just following you because it's funny. They're following you because they like your sense of humor.
Exactly.
And their humor connects with your humor. Like, my followers make me laugh so hard. Like, I'll write something funny.
Yep.
And they'll write something funnier back at me. And I'm like, I fucking love you.
So you said people don't follow me because... And so I've seen your Instagram grow from, like, I don't know, like, single digits. Thousands? So single thousands?
It's grown 20,000 in the last 2 months.
Holy shit,
which is
girly.
Insane. It my only plan was to hit 10,000 followers by December.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to do swipe ups for my podcast.
Right.
And a couple tweets went viral, so I started posting the tweets. And then if the people want it, you gotta give it to them.
Yeah.
So I just kept doing it, and it kept growing, and then... It wasn't really planned, and now I'm at about 35K.
Oh, yeah, you're really rapidly approaching, surpassing me. It's going to make me real. It's going to change your whole relationship. We're not going to be friends anymore.
Shut the fuck up. You're going to be like, hey, can we do an Insta story real quick?
No, I'm actually very comfortable being second, third, fourth, even 10th. I don't care. You know, Stassi has taught me very well.
Well,
so
Stassi's
I am ready for you to be a reality
Stassi's
TV star.
On a whole different ballgame.
And the funniest thing is, like, Stassi treats me like such an equal, you know? It's, like, so ridiculous.
But also, because you are, and also Stassi is... So unique with her humor. Like Stassi's whole murder shit.
Oh.
Like how
creepy
she is.
She's a fucking weirdo.
She's a weirdo and she embraces it.
Which is why she's awesome. I know.
I love weird people.
But you just said people follow my social media, according to you, yours, because it's funny and relatable, not because I'm Hannah Berner. But girl, you're about to enter into a place where people are going to follow your social media because you are Hannah Berner from Summer House.
So
how are you feeling about that?
It's going to be interesting because... People follow me now for my funny tweets, but then people are going to follow me who want to see, like, me do Summer House shit. So I'm a little worried that the audiences might be like, I don't like this, I don't like that. But
that's okay.
I'm not worried about it. I'm going to try to be authentic. And if it sparks joy, I'm going to post it.
So like I was saying, Hannah and I have known each other for about a year now. She's been on my show for about a year now. I mean, we met on the show. So there you go.
I force her to be my friend by going on her show all the time.
I force you to be my friend by coming on my show. And then I found out this summer that you were going to be on Summer House. Now, for people that don't know, I'm just going to say this because I feel like it's a part of the story. I have to say it. But so I was close with Stephen McGee from Summer House. And I found out that he was no longer going to be on the show. And honestly, the reason why, like, I don't even know that I know the full story as to why, like, how it went down between him and Bravo. And there's a handful of variations as to why he's not on anymore, right? Because I'm not going to say the word fire, because I don't even know if that's the appropriate language.
Yeah, just like you either get renewed or not.
Exactly. Or like maybe like he didn't like the offer that they were giving him and he walked away. I honestly...
We have no idea.
We really don't know. But he did call me when... He was saying he was off of Summer House and very upset. And of course, I had just been fired from Sirius, lost my identity. So I know I was able to empathize with him. Like, it's fucking sucks when you lose something that you're so proud of and is such a big identifier for you. So I got that. And I felt that. And then, like, 3 weeks later, I would say, I went to Betches to do, I think it was the You Up podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw you because you worked there. And you were like, guess what? I'm not supposed to say anything, but I can't hold it anymore. I got to tell you a secret. And I was like, what? And you were like, I'm on Summer House. And I was like, oh, no. Because I knew then. I was like, oh, God.
Your immediate reaction was not happy for me. You were like, oh, we're in trouble. And I was like, what happened? what happened? What did I do?
I just remember being like, I knew it was going to break his heart, you know? And only knowing it because if I found out that somebody was when I found out somebody who Michelle Collins was replacing me on Sirius. I have no beef towards Michelle, but it was like, oh, you. Mm-hmm. A little bit.
It's entertainment.
But it is entertainment. And like, honestly, when I got fired from Sirius, I was ready for Sirius to offer Carly Aquilino, mm-hmm. Emma Willman, mm-hmm. Clay Aiken, mm-hmm. Rob Shooter. Mm-hmm. I mean, all my co-hosts. I was literally, Lori Bergamotto. I was ready for them to offer it to any one of those five of my co-hosts. I was emotionally prepared because I thought to myself, I can't be mad at them if they replace me with a co-host because this is this business. And I can't be mad at a co-host for taking an opportunity. Yep. But I knew that it would still hurt and it would
but
cut.
But also in this business, how many opportunities there are?
A lot.
And you created your own career, making more money than ever.
Yeah.
And learning more than ever.
Yeah, girl, I just got my W-9 from my business partners. I was like, oh my God, I'm in the most money.
Damn, girl.
Damn, girl, you go, boo-boo.
That's why you went to Sugarfish.
It's actually really inexpensive.
Really?
I mean, for sushi, for omakase.
Okay, you're so bougie right now. You're like, it wasn't that expensive.
So,
I mean, you couldn't afford it, but.
But I remember when, girl, I paid for me and Alex Simopoulos.
We get it, you're rich.
No, I'll be writing that shit off. We talk
but
business.
You have your own business.
Thank
you. You wouldn't have had to do that with Sirius.
1,000%. But the thing is that I don't want people to think that I'm not supportive. But my initial reaction was like, oh no, because I just had a friend who was, you know, no longer going to be on that show. Mm-hmm. So I knew that I had a crystal ball of this could cause some problems
but
for me in the future.
But also mental strength is understanding that sometimes life goes in waves. Shit goes bad for you and shit is good for someone else. But in a couple months, something good's happening to you and you have to ride the wave and realize that you can't take things personally in the entertainment industry.
I know. And I so agree with that. So I want to officially here publicly apologize to you that was my first reaction wasn't congratulations. It was, oh no. What's going to happen to me? but I mean, really, I feel like, and it really, Page Six, when it first came out that they had gotten rid of like 50% of the cast, they referred to the Summer House, whatever you want to call it, overhaul as a bloodbath.
It was
and like
brutal.
Slaughterhouse.
Yeah, it was brutal.
So how, I want to go back to that time and place and mm-hmm. like, I mean, you weren't able to even come out on the air yet and say mm-hmm. that you were on Summer House. Mm-hmm. So it was a secret that you knew for a while. It was a secret then you told me in the summer. And then we had to keep that secret together up until recently on
so,
my show.
Bravo doesn't want thirsty people. Bravo doesn't want, even if you're getting interviewed, you can't like tell people in this industry that you're interviewing or it'll get back to them. And they'll be like, this girl's annoying. We don't want her on the show. So my job was to just do my work at Bravo, keep my head down, and have a great summer.
So basically Bravo said to you, though, like, you are not to speak of this change until we decide
and
we're announcing
it. And I didn't even know who was getting fired while I was being interviewed.
Wow.
So like,
probably thought you were
in the dark.
Co-host or castmate.
I was excited to be on the show with Steven. I mean, I'd only met him 3 times.
And Lauren.
I actually never met Lauren.
Uh-huh.
But I interviewed Steven.
Who cares about a meet?
I don't know who Amit is.
I know who Amit is. He tried to make me and my girlfriend make out for him. So I threw a drink at him like a thirsty thirst trap that I am.
Yeah, you're
luckily
so
he didn't
thirsty.
Make it on air. I was that would be so embarrassing.
They said, yeah. I'm mad that I didn't get to see it.
So you just thought you were just joining the cast.
Yeah.
Damn. So what was your reaction when you found out that there was the quote-unquote slaughterhouse, whatever you want to call it, the bloodbath? What was your reaction?
Well,
were you scared? Were you confused? Were you like,
I mean,
I
knew
predicted
someone
that.
Had to go out for me to come in.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's all I knew.
Amit. You Amit. Replaced Amit.
Amit.
Let's just go with that. So, well, I mean, Ashley was not a surprise to me because she lived in California and she was like kind of barely on the show second season anyway. Yeah. I am an avid loyal watcher of Summer House. And
also, Danielle was part of the bloodbath.
Yeah.
But Danielle ended up coming back.
Okay. So explain that to all of us. Because I think that that's something that like no one's really like even questioned and or addressed. It's like, so she was a part of the bloodbath mm-hmm. and then she is
because
back on.
You never actually know with entertainment. The only thing I knew was that I was told that I was going to be on this show.
Uh-huh.
Danielle surprisingly got really close to Lindsay when they weren't filming over the winter. So
can I ask a really fucked up question?
Yeah.
Do you think that that was a strategy move on her part? Would you think
not
that was a business
all.
Move or do you think that was genuine friendship?
Danielle actually doesn't give a shit about fame. And you could tell by her Instagram.
I actually met her one time and she was like the most down-to-earth, humble person.
The reason why that she didn't get so much traction on the show is because she's so normal.
Right.
But she's really a really smart like product manager in technology. She can like code and shit. She's a genius and she's gorgeous and she's from Hoboken. So she loves to party. And her and Lindsay got really close. So when Steven and the twins left.
I know what you meant.
And the twins left, Lindsay was kind of left without a friend
right.
in the house.
Right.
Because we don't know.
And listen,
her
this
well.
Happens in all reality shows. If you look at like Vanderpump or you look at like The Housewives, like there are alliances. I think that that's a fair way to put it and an appropriate way to
also,
put it.
Who
teams.
Knows? Steven could be back next summer.
Wouldn't that
who
just
knows?
Be
the
epic?
Thing is, you never know unless yes. you burn bridges with people.
Yes, yes. So, well, I'm here for that. I would love to watch
that. Would be a bloodbath. I actually, yeah, I joked with Steven because he said congrats to me and I was just...
No way!
Yeah, he said congrats in the very beginning. He's like, I heard you're on. And
oh, back then?
Yeah, in the very beginning.
I thought you meant he just
no,
texted you. I was like,
no,
really?
No, no, no. He said congrats when you first... I don't know how he heard, but he heard through
well,
the community.
I'm sure... I'm going to assume that like when you're on Bravo, you have friends that probably are also like their management in Bravo or like production in Bravo. So there's probably like office people, non-talent people that like... You know, keep relationships with
yeah.
the talent and stuff.
And I just said to him, like, if you're going to burn the house down, just wait for me to be in the pool. I don't know if he thought it was funny
that's
or not.
That's what you said to him?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That would be... What an... Steven, go try to light the house on fire. That shit would be so funny. I am here for... I will bail you out of jail.
Funny's a strong word. Bravo would be like, God damn it. We have to get a new house next summer. Good thing we got insurance.
So going into it, I feel like, you know, it's always tough on new cast members, but I feel like because you guys had that kind of press around like your entree foray into like being the new members, mm-hmm. do you like, have you had any, because I mean, the news literally like just came out.
It just dropped.
I mean, as the time that this podcast will air, it will have been like about a week to mm-hmm. date. Mm-hmm. So have you had any backlash from it? Like, have you had like old Summer House, like followers, fans who are giving you shit?
I think that the change was something that Bravo had done a lot of research on.
Yes.
And like logically decided they want to change. Mm-hmm. And you never know what the season would have been if they kept the same cast. But I'm just so excited about this season because there's three new people. So we didn't come in as like the one new housewife. We came in with a whole new energy that changed the chemistry of everything.
And speaking of alliances, so you guys, the three of you came in all having known each other. So you yes. guys kind of came in like... G unit, like, right?
But I mean, we didn't.
But
we
you also came,
in,
came into a broken house in a good way.
We came into a house we knew was kind of divided. And we also were like, can we have some fun?
Yeah.
I was like, are y'all down to have fun?
Do we have to like have sad, depressing dinners every single weekend?
We just wanted to have a good time. And we did.
And you did.
I mean, there were some bad times.
Of course. Well, as there should be in all good summer houses and good reality TV shows.
Honestly, I grew a lot from this summer.
Tell me how. I've actually seen it, but I wouldn't be able to pinpoint what it is. But I feel like you have a different level of maturity that I've seen
oh,
you go through.
You
also, you know, are no longer with Betches.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you've even just from that small experience, and that was like, what, a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
You've grown even more so from that as well.
My biggest advice in life is like when you're scared, just do it. Mm-hmm. Throw yourself into situations that challenge you and see how you grow from it.
You've lived a lot of life in 1 year, girl.
Yeah, and it's funny because my lawyer was talking to me and he's like, how is your family reacting? And I was like, I was a tennis player. I was always dealing with drama and I was kind of in the limelight.
So you were kind of like prepped for this very well.
I mean, for me, what stresses me out is like, you know, match point, down match point, second serve, five all in the third set.
What's the analogy in reality TV?
Reality TV is like Lindsay's mad at you and she's drunk and you know she's going to talk to you because she's mad at something you said. And you know shit's about to go down and the whole world's going to watch. And your armpits are sweating and you're wearing a gray shirt.
I wish I didn't wear this. I wish I wore my navy blue shirt.
It's funny because in the beginning you're like, I'm a national TV. I was most stressed about my outfits.
Oh, girl, I hear that.
Like,
I heard that.
Because that's not my priority. But
that's
I realized,
also so not your personality.
Well, that's why I was worried. I was not prepared. I didn't have outfits for 12 weekends.
This is something that, like, people don't tell you about reality television, but, like, there's not a stylist on
they
set.
Don't
there's
dress
not
you.
Hair and makeup. You guys have to do your own hair, your own makeup. You have to style yourselves. I mean,
also, when you share houses,
it's kind of exhausting.
You go, like, a couple times in the summer, not every weekend, and you don't have legitimate, amazing dinners and events all the time.
Right.
And this show We did, and it was amazing.
How much money did you spend on a wardrobe?
I invested in my business. I also like found all my most stylish friends.
I invested in my business. So well put.
My friend was like, look, you got to invest in how you look and just be like, okay, first episode, whatever you got paid, put that into your wardrobe, and that's what we're doing.
For real.
And I think I pulled it off. You guys can tell me. DM me if you hated my outfits or not. But I also have a unique style, and I try to not be like...
You're a tomboy.
I didn't want to be Hampton's basic. I wanted to bring some Brooklyn to the Hamptons.
Oh, yeah, girl? How'd you do that?
You know, I just wore my hoops.
I also want to talk about... So I actually had what I... You know, so when Stephen was on the show, I got to go to Summer House.
Yes.
Thanks to him. And you invited me this year.
I did.
Also want to give a shout out to that. But I felt like... I don't know. I kind of felt like... You being on it was one thing, but me going physically to it, having had that past relationship, I kind of actually never talked about this with you. Mm-hmm. That's why I said no. Did I tell you?
I think you said like, I'm sorry, I'm busy.
Oh, okay. I lied. I'm never busy.
You're like, I was drinking alone watching Vanderpump.
Mm-hmm, pretty much. I didn't want to go because I felt like that for me was a line of loyalty that I felt would be like crossing. And you invited me just simply to be nice and hospitable. You're eating on my podcast again. We come full fucking circle, ladies and gentlemen.
It's oatmeal. It's yeah. Sticky.
Yeah, like paste. What's your fucking deal? You're on brand. The girl likes to eat paste like
things.
Do
you want me to have a low sugar level during this podcast and be a bore? You're welcome.
But I definitely remember you inviting me, and I thought it was so sweet of you. And honestly, if you hadn't invited me, I would have been fucking mad at you. So good job. Huh. But I didn't take you up on the offer because I felt like, because when I went there and Steve was on the, you know, was on the show, I did get some airtime with my tailor because Amit was like basically harassing us.
Do you regret saying you can't come?
No, I think it was the better thing to do because let's say I had again like been on, I think I would have looked like a total Summer House thirst trap. So I just went out to the Vanderpump House this year instead. But what I want to say is I'm ready now to come back. Please invite me.
I'm going to have to think about it. But also, we got to hang with Stassi and the Vanderpump crew.
Yes, thank you for reminding me. Mm-hmm. And?
It was everything.
Do we know
more?
When we're going to get to see that on the show? The show airs March 4th.
Yeah, I think it's going to air at the end of Vanderpump. Like their last episode might go into ours, but I don't know.
Okay.
I probably shouldn't have said that.
Oh, fuck it. It's fine. I can edit it out if you want me to.
No, it's okay.
I love you. But what I was going to say was when I did get to go there, when it was, you know, when Steven invited me, I went with my girlfriend, and pulling an outfit for it was the most stressful thing of my entire life.
Imagine
anxiety,
every weekend,
girl.
I had to do that.
So I, from a very small perspective point of view, I can like only imagine like how overwhelmingly stressful that must have been. And also I remember thinking, I extra hate this because it's like the summer. So everyone's in bathing suits running around. It was like, I mean, was that
some girls,
a source of insecurity? Or?
Some girls love, and guys love putting their outfits together for nights out. I'm that friend that hates that shit. I'll show up in black and that's all I want to do. Mm-hmm. Hampton summer, I can't wear my black on black.
No.
So I had to do a whole thing of shopping. And I also gained 10 pounds from, I think, stress, drinking more than I normally do, and just...
So how did you deal with that?
I just figured that I can't change it. I can't change anything. Also, I told you I pulled my back.
You have a lot of confidence, which I very much...
Thank you. I just
admire.
Whatever I'm doing is I wanted to show that if I'm going to be on TV, I'm not going to try to be the perfect version of myself, because I want girls to understand that just because I'm on TV doesn't mean that they have to look up to me. And I want them to realize that
they can relate to you.
Yes.
You're not in a pedestal. You're down on earth with them.
And that's why I was open about, you know, anxiety, depression, fucked up relationships. Like, let's talk about it. Because I think what Summer House was lacking was people on the show in the past have tried to make it look like they had their shit together when everyone watches the show because you clearly don't. So then you just look like a fake motherfucker.
Right. So you throw your dick on the table.
Oh, 100%. And I fight with Jordan about his dick.
I saw in the trailer and it was amazing.
It's like a whole storyline.
I wonder why. I literally can't even begin to predict why you're talking about Jordan's dick. Unless you were near it in a sexual manner.
You're going to have to watch.
Oh, you tease.
I'm such a tease.
Well, anyway, I'm so fucking excited for Summer House Season 3. You guys, it premieres March 4th. Hannah Berner is one of the new three castmates. Girl, congrats.
I appreciate
it. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
You're going to be so famous. I'm so excited.
Oh, my God. I don't even feel that way because I'm already like, I did.
You're
I
my filmed show it. Pony.
Oh, my God. Stop. But I'm more excited about new projects that it gives me the ability to do. Like, I have my podcast, Burning in Hell.
Which I'm so proud of you for, too. Yes. And make sure to check that out, too. Burning in Hell. Every single
Wednesday. And Taylor was 100% the reason why I did it. My mentor.
Girl, thank you. You don't have to say that.
No, but you
I'll send you a check
when
later.
When you see people around you who are like killing the game, who believe in you, then you start killing the game. And then now I want to create more videos on my own Instagram because I have more time.
You've actually started doing that and I am here for them. They're so good. It's like, you know, I mean, I miss you doing videos. So I'm happy that you're back doing that again.
It's like find what gives you joy and find a way to do it without a boss breathing down your neck all the fucking time.
Well, girl, you bring me joy all the time.
Why are we
every
talking
single
like this?
Day? Because I'm trying to stretch it out. Because if I don't, I'm going to ask you more questions. We're going to go on for another hour and those guys out there are going to fucking kill me because we're going to go into their time. They're waiting.
What time is it? Oh, it's we have
time.
2 minutes.
Yep. Yeah. Hannah, thank you for joining me. I love you.
I love you so much.
And also, guys, make sure to follow her at Being Burns. Listen to her podcast, Burning in Hell, Wednesdays. And don't forget, Summer House,
March 4th, 10 p.m. Ooh, Bravo.
On Bravo. Dur. The only network I religiously watch.
Duh.
You're a Bravo celebrity.
Oh, my God. Don't say that. It's so weird.
If you get a big head, I'm never fucking talking to you ever again.
I have a very little head. And like little legs and long torso.
You guys, that's it for us. Thank you for joining us in this week's Taste of Taylor. Make sure to check them out every single Wednesday. And in the meantime, if you want to check me out in a more intimate way, then make sure to go to my website, taylorstricker.com, and subscribe to my daily talk radio show. You guys, thank you so much. And bye, girl, bye. Did you enjoy this taste of me? Want more? Then go to taylorstrecker.com and sign up for my daily talk radio show, The Taylor Strecker Show, and listen live or on demand.